Psalm 117.
O praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Although we have a very brief psalm, but like pure gold, very concentrated and full of great goodness. Well, to go from gold to a diamond, a small diamond is likewise wonderful to behold, greatly compressed, full of wonder, and can be looked at from different angles and you see the light on it. This psalm is short and sweet, yet nothing is missing. This itself is a wonder of God's ways. Let us explore it and see what depths and riches we have in these two verses of Psalm 117. It's an exhortation to praise the Lord, with two plain reasons being given. His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. These two points are very much, I don't know if anyone else has observed this, but I seem to find that it's expanded on in Psalm 118, his mercy endureth forever, his merciful kindness. There's a lot about that there. And then it mentions the stone which the builders refused, the Lord Jesus Christ, which the Jews rejected, who's become the headstone of the corner. That's the seat of God's mercy, which we read about also in 2 Peter. So that's expanded in his merciful kindness much in Psalm 118. And then Psalm 119, the truth of the Lord that endureth forever. Well, Psalm 119 is all about the word of God, his truth, his commandments, such expressions, his testimonies, used right throughout that long psalm, 119, of several pages of 176 verses, all on the enduring truth. So it seems to me that this psalm 117 almost serves as an introduction to 118 and 119. I won't go on about that, but it does seem these two points are brought out with a great end to be to praise the Lord. So, well, this then is simple, and in a way we have this simplicity, the kindness of God in Jesus Christ, and we have the profound and unsearchable riches of Christ in the fact that the truth of the Lord endureth forever. You could go from the beginning of time, before time was, when there was God before time, right into eternity, and this truth of the Lord endureth right the way through. And you could think on so much, and especially the unsearchable riches of Christ. And these two things, they combine in a way. You see, think of the deepest things, the most difficult things, the most complex things, and yet you can say simply, the answer is Jesus Christ. When someone comes up with something, well, what are you going to do? Well, the first thing is to call upon the Lord in the name of the Almighty Saviour, whose merciful kindness is great toward us. So you see that the simplicity of Christ is sufficient for the most distressing, complex, difficult situation. So the simplicity itself is actually unsearchable riches. And there's so much in Jesus Christ to call upon him and to therefore to praise him as well. So just really keeping this fairly simple then, the simplicity of Christ is seen in his merciful kindness toward us. As I said, we see this in Psalm 118, where constantly reminds us that his mercy endureth forever. It was the same for the Old Testament people of God, God's mercy toward them. He was kind, compassionate, slow to anger. These attributes of God that were pointed out to Moses before. When all the enemies were all against them, as we were reading in that psalm, yet the Lord is the salvation. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. This is all God's grace, his mercy toward his people. Now this mercy of God, it isn't something vague. And that's very clear where it's mentioned in Isaiah 55. You might think about mercy as something that you're hoping for, vaguely, that if you might earn it, perhaps. But it speaks in Isaiah 55 in verse 3. It says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Well, who can say that? Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. That's God signing a document with you. Even the sure mercies of David. Now, King David was promised many things. He was promised that his throne would endure forever. He also knew of God's forgiving him for his sin in a sure way. They were sure mercies. God had forgiven David, and God had promised him that he would have a generation that would endure forever. And then, finally, how would this kingdom endure forever? Well, through the Lord, David's Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are sure mercies. God, when God does something, he doesn't half do it with a maybe, an if, and a but. He does it. Just as when Jesus Christ was crucified, he rose from the dead. He wasn't half alive. He was truly alive. He truly ascended into heaven, and he's truly coming again to judge the world. These are sure mercies, sure things that God has done. So his mercy toward his people is a sure covenant promise. If we sinners have come to Jesus Christ, we have found forgiveness of our sins. The blood of Christ. Let me put it like this, it may sound a bit crude. If the blood of Christ won't cleanse you from your sins, what will? Is it you're going to add to it in any way? That would be to blaspheme against the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we felt that we had to somehow add to his sacrifice in some way, it is finished, he said. And so it is. His mercy is a merciful kindness. You can think of someone being begrudgingly mercy, but God is merciful with kindness in here. These great words we have in the Bible, words like tender mercies, loving kindness. This is the way that God acts towards his people. We don't deserve it. That's why it is so good. That's why it is so tender. That's why it's so merciful and so kind. His merciful kindness is great towards us. It's not half good. It's great toward us. So the people of God rejoice and praise the Lord for this great mercy toward us. Let's read how the Apostle Paul describes it in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, if you turn to verse 6 through to verse 8. You see if this was something that the Apostle Paul had done, or see if it's the tender mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Romans 5, from verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. Now, it's important to get this right here. When we think about the death of Jesus Christ, it something made some people feel sad. They think, oh, what a sad day it was when he was on that cross. What a horrible scene it was. But we must remember, he gave himself. What was actually happening was that, yes, he truly did suffer, but because he was bearing the sins of his people, he died for the ungodly. He died while we were yet sinners. This was his death. It was a substitution. He wasn't dying for his own sin. He was without sin. Never sinned. Never ever sinned. And the wages of sin is death. So the wages that he was taking were the wages of the sins of his people. For the ungodly. While we were yet sinners. While we were yet without strength. Well, this is the mercy of God, isn't it? This is the tender kindness of God. If we come confessing, yes, we are without strength. We are ungodly. We are sinners. Lord, have mercy on me. Where can we find mercy? It's in the cross of Christ. It's in the death of Christ. It's here. This is his love toward us. Not for the righteous, but for the ungodly. If you think you're a righteous person, you think you're good enough for heaven, you don't need mercy. If you know you're a sinner, you need mercy, and you need it with kindness. And that is what we have in Jesus Christ. This is, we call it the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What could be more simple than there is one worthy of eternal punishment and of hell and all because we've sinned against the Almighty God, our Maker. And yet in comes a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he dies in our place for us. Well, he didn't. He died for the repentant. He died for those who turn to him. He certainly didn't die for those who go on and on and on and on. And don't call upon him. There's nothing there to save them from their sins. They still have the wrath of God upon them. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They are without the knowledge of God. But if he's persuaded you, I could try and persuade you that you're a sinner and that you're not fit for eternal life. But also persuade you that those who trust in Jesus Christ have everlasting life. You can tell me, will you trust him or will you trust yourself? You know, you should be able to plainly say, as a matter of fact, my place in heaven is secure because of the merciful kindness of Jesus Christ dying to save me from my sins. I don't deserve any of it. I'm a hell-deserving sinner. But by God's grace, his mercy toward me, I can say that I'm saved by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 9, just after that, in Romans 5, then much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I wonder if you can say that. Being justified by his blood, I shall be saved from wrath through him. That's the way that we can speak if we believe what the Bible says. That is, well, it's, you call it old-fashioned Protestantism if you like, but that's basically what the Bible teaches on this in such a plain way. Well, this is the kindness of God towards us. I trust that you know this kindness. You're a recipient of God's merciful kindness, and you can say, well, it is great toward me. It is great. This is the one thing to keep me going through all sorts of things that come to pass. Whatever it is, I might be afflicted with all sorts of conditions. But the merciful kindness of God is great towards me in Jesus Christ. And so I praise him, whatever, come what may. This is also shown the call to praise him because of his truth. The truth of the Lord endureth forever, as we said, from before eternity to all through eternity, forever and ever. His truth endureth forever. And as I said, if you study sometime Psalm 119, you'll see all the Word of God, everything that God says, and it's continuing, and the fullness of it all, God's Word, His truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth Himself. He's not just the truth as He was on the one day on the cross. He's not just the truth on the one day of the resurrection, but He's the truth yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He doesn't change. We can rely on Him today. It says in Psalm 100, at the end of Psalm 100, which we often sing or we read, it says, "The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting." Well, that's good, because we've just been talking about His mercy. That will last. It won't run out. "And His truth endureth to all generations." So the same God of truth who came with His mercy and covered Adam, who was found ashamed of his nakedness after he disobeyed God, He covered him, made him acceptable in His sight. Abraham, who He called, to Moses, who He called to write the Old Testament people, through to the time of John the Baptist coming, and Jesus Christ, and the apostles, the truth and the mercy is the same and endures forever and ever. And we can be just as sure today of the mercy of Jesus Christ, the truth of Him, just as sure as if we were walking with Him by the sea, or even on the sea of Galilee, as if we were there and He was feeding the 5,000 and the bread was and the fish were multiplied and we ate and fed on that meal. His truth is just the same. We haven't got the signs of the miracles. They're in the Bible. They happened then. But His truth endureth forever. It's such a precious thing to know. He's just as close to us through faith as if we were standing with Him. That is as sure. The mercies that we've spoken about, the sure mercies of David in Jesus Christ, are absolutely yay and amen. You're standing on a rock, aren't you? This is what those who keep the sayings of Christ, the Sermon on the Mount, He describes them as those who are standing on a rock. And the winds blow, the storms come. Well, usually you'd expect a few tiles to blow off the roof. But not if you're standing with Jesus Christ. If He's your Saviour, He's died for your sins, heaven is yours. You're saved from hell, you've got nothing to fear. When you sin, as we do, we all sin from time to time in various ways and thoughts, we come back to Him. And His mercy endures forever, and He still keeps us. He won't cast you away over one sin. Not that we want to sin, we want to hate sin. We want to flee from sin. We want to live unto righteousness. And really, it brings us to our last point very nearly. But I want to just turn you to 1 Peter, which we read some of. But firstly, in the first chapter, and then in the second chapter. In the first chapter of 1 Peter, this is the letter which St. Peter wrote. He wrote two that are in the Bible, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, general epistles written to everyone, scattered around, and so they're written to us too. And just firstly, just because this touches on this theme of the Word of God enduring forever, reminds us of who we are. The end of chapter 1. "For all flesh is as grass." Flesh means actually talking about people. Because that's what we look like. We just look like flesh people. "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." This is what a man's like. Starts off young and fit and strong, and ends up like a withering flower. It's a sad picture in some ways, isn't it? But the word of the Lord endureth endureth forever. And this is the word by the gospel, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So though you're fading away like grass, the word of the Lord endureth forever, and is preached to you, the word which we believe in all these things about the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's an enduring word. Jesus said that the earth will be burnt up, will fade away, but his words will endure forever. So this is wonderful promises we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. His kindness is not temporary, it's not flitting, he's not moody with us. It's sure, his righteousness is sure and steady, his commandments are sure and steady. We fail, we turn to him again and again, but his mercy and his truth endures forever. And in Psalm 85, so if you keep your finger in 1 Peter there, just briefly in Psalm 85 and verse 10, we read this wonderful thing. Mercy and truth are met together. Well, that's what we have here. Mercy and truth. They come together. Truth, you see, hard fact, isn't it? But mercy with it. Well, mercy and truth are met together. Interesting. Wonder what it could be. You hear about things that are true, but often they're pretty alarming. But with mercy. And together, the two together. Sure, you see, a sure mercy, a true mercy. And then it explains further on in here, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness. Righteousness sounds pretty severe, doesn't it? Righteous, absolutely right and perfect. And peace have kissed each other. Do you think, have I misread that? Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Well, if we can explain that, we'll explain it as we've already been explaining it. It's in Jesus Christ. He is the Lord our righteousness. And so, in him, in his mercy, those that come to him, they receive peace with God. In fact, we had that in that passage in Romans chapter 5 there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith. What? It isn't of works. It's not our works. It's all his work. But our faith in his work. That's what it is. Our works were set out for us to follow on. And we come to that a little bit now. In 1 Peter chapter 2, which we were reading from, and it says in verse 9, we come to the subject of praise, basically, here. We're praising the Lord, all ye nations, hence, you can also note this, if you're a Jewish person in the Old Testament, it was to be all the nations would come to praise God. So, Paul quotes this, actually, in Romans, it's in chapter 15, but we don't have to turn to that now. Romans 15, he quotes this verse, praise the Lord, all ye nations, all ye Gentiles. So this was promised that all these people from all around the world will come into this Old Testament psalm through Jesus Christ and praise him. And we're told that the reasons are here, his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. And therefore it concludes again, praise ye the Lord. Now I want to touch on this subject of praise. How then do we respond to this merciful kindness and this truth of God that is enduring in Jesus Christ to all that have said, oh, this is wonderful, Jesus Christ, my Saviour, who died for my sins. We respond by praise, praising him. Well, that's partly what Sunday is. It's a day of praise, days to praise God. But we'll see there's even further things Often, if you look in the prayer book on page 43, we say a general thanksgiving. And if you notice in the words, the general thanksgiving, to halfway through it, it says, "And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all of thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful." Well, we must be thankful, mustn't we? If Jesus Christ has saved us from hell, well, we've got to be thankful. If you can't be thankful for that, I don't know what you can be thankful for. Unfeignedly thankful, wholeheartedly thankful. And this is the point here, that we show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, so in singing hymns and psalms, or in saying something about it, but in our lives. We show forth thy praise, the praise that this is the bright, shining glory of God. We show this forth not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days. And this is the practical part of praise that I want to just emphasize in our closing few minutes here. This call to praise the Lord is to live wholeheartedly for him. Yes, worship is Sunday worship, morning prayer, evening prayer, the Lord's Supper. But to praise the Lord is to live wholeheartedly for him, not only with our lips, but in our lives. Some people, they draw near to God with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. We read about them in the Bible. But also, that our lives should be given up to the service of God. What is it to serve God? To love him, to keep his commandments, to walk before him in holiness and righteousness all our days. To seek to do the things that God says we should do. Not to live just following our own desires. Our own hearts can lead us into all sorts of places. But following the things that God says are right and good. So this is part of praise. It shows that we are sincere in knowing that the God's mercy toward us is great and that his truth endures forever. It shows our sincerity and the genuineness of our faith if we live for God. It doesn't earn us our salvation. It's a sign of our salvation to praise the Lord. It's a test of our salvation, perhaps. You can see if someone doesn't love God or live for his glory. So it says in 1 Peter 2, in verse 9, that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's what people in Christ are described as. And holy nation, a peculiar people, or a purchased people. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. That's how it describes it. Been called out of darkness. To live without Jesus Christ is to live in darkness. But we've been called to show forth the praises of him who called you, the virtues, the good, all the good things about him. We show them forth in our lives. It says that it gives description, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy. Interesting, we speak of that again. But now have obtained mercy. The people here is describing, like us, one time weren't the people of God. You may think, well, I've always been a Christian. Well, I know it's difficult to draw a point in time for some of us, where we really trusted Christ. Maybe we trusted him from a very early age. But there is a sense of all people that of coming to know that we trust on Jesus Christ, that we have obtained mercy. And so then they're exhorted that their behavior, their conversation, their behavior should be different, that even when people are speaking evil against us, we seek good for them. And in chapter 4, so I'm going to try and rush on a little bit here, it says in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, verse 11, If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as is the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. So, to do all things to the glory of God, to the praise of God. And I just want to emphasize this with a couple more scriptures. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, similar to what we have after the communion service, Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's using the mercies of God to remind them. You know God has been merciful to you? Well, I'm beseeching you on this basis that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We get similar words used after the in the prayer after the communion service. To then, on the basis of God's being so merciful to us, someone's been dragged out of a river, they were drowning, they've been put on the land. Well, you want to thank the person who's brought you out, don't you? If that's what's happened. That's exactly what the Christian life is about. We're people that have been brought out of a drowning ditch of mud and vile and filth, and covered in our own sins, and we're washed and we're counted as bright and shining and clean as you could be. You can't think of yourself being like that, but that's what you are in Jesus Christ. So we should live like it. That's the point. We should live like that. We're just saying, well, I'm nobody. I'm a filthy wretch. It's like someone's got a new washing powder. I've got this new washing powder. You know, I had something and I couldn't get that stain out of it. But you should see it now. It's bright and clean. You should get this washing powder. Well, we're speaking of the washing of the inside of our soul, the filth of the human heart, being cleansed by the death of Christ. We're acceptable in the sight of God. We should live thanking God for this, seeking to live according to everything right, not wanting all those wrong and sinful things anymore. Well, this is a great challenge. I hope I'm not making it sound like a burden, but you think how difficult this is? Still remember, His merciful kindness is great toward us. The truth of the Lord endures forever. If you believed in Jesus Christ some years ago, and you were aware of being saved, it's just the same now. It's no less. All the sins in between haven't diminished. The blood of Christ saving you from your sins. Isaiah says, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. That's what God's made His people to be. With that, you would wonder, wouldn't you, now, how around the world the Christian church is spreading. Why? How does it do it? Well, this is partly why. Because the people of God, in spite of living in some wretched countries with persecution, bitterness, and evildoers in power, really being most cruel to many Christians in many, many countries, they shine with this praise because they know they're saved. They know heaven is theirs. And so they can speak in these ways, as I'm trying to encourage you now. And in Ephesians chapter 1, this is the last reference. Ephesians chapter 1, well, this is really a separate, almost to explain this separately. It describes the blessings we have in Christ. Spiritual blessings, being chosen, predestinated. You know, if you've got faith in Jesus Christ, it's because God has chosen you and called you. This is the most wonderful. This gives us our assurance. It's not just because today I'm feeling like a Christian. I've become a Christian because God is today. Now when you come to believe, it's a strange thing. But then this teaches us. It's God has chosen you. God has called you, and that's why we're here. God has done it. And then it says in verse 6, verse 5, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And then, I'm not doing this justice, in verse 12 and verse 14, it's explaining all this has happened, everything God has done. Again, just summing it up really, to give us an eternal inheritance, working all things according to the purpose of his will. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And in verse 14, it speaks of receiving the Spirit of God, which is the earnest of our inheritance. This is when you get some kind of sense, at least of an assurance of God toward you. The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. This praise, then, I'll give you one more description of this, where Jesus Christ is described as the light of the world. He says to the disciples, you are the light of the world. How can it be? Because we are to the praise of God's grace. So, being a Christian, you have received entirely God's mercy, nothing of yourself, to make you acceptable to God. All mercy in Jesus Christ. Therefore, what we are the work, we are a work of God, it's a work of God. So therefore, we live and say thanks to God, privately and publicly. And so, the fact that we are where we are, that we exist, saved from our sins, is to the praise of God. It was all to thank him. And so, we live to his praise. Ask me about this later on, if you like, if you want to think it through. But the thing is to do it. Praise ye the Lord. Shine, let your light so shine forth before men that they may see your good works and praise your Father which is in heaven. Remember, it's all his merciful kindness to us in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that the most simple things are found in here. We say, Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. In Jesus Christ, who died for sinners, what more simple things could we find, Lord, to be forgiven and to know that we belong to thee and that thou hast given us everlasting life. And we thank thee, Lord, that this is not just a passing thing, because thy truth endureth forever to all generations, from the beginning of the world until the end of the world and the coming of thy glorious eternal kingdom. Lord, we thank thee and we praise thee and we ask thee, Lord, that we may in these days not only praise thee with our lips, and certainly when we praise thee with our lips that our hearts are not far from thee, but we also may praise thee in our lives by giving up ourselves to thy service and walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.